Oh, praise God. You know, God is a master plan. I don't know. That's what I take.
I'll just share a tidbit.
Yes.
And then praise the Lord. The story of Ruth, it's a story that I never get tired of. Whenever I read that story, it never seems to stop baffling me. The kind of mercy that God gives to His people. Amen. Now we know that Ruth is a Moabite. Now, right? And we know about the Moabites, do we? A people of, from a dangerous background, born out of rebellion. Women, children of a man, conspiring to have nations. And we know what the Moabites did to the Israel. Praise God. And the word of the Lord is that no Moabite shall enter in the congregation of God's people, right? For how many generations? 10 generations. That's a lot of generations. Praise God. Hallelujah. The story starts with this woman of Israel and the family. They decided that they will sojourn. There was a famine, right, in Israel. So, and this family decided they don't want to rough it out with the children of God. Amen. So they moved to. They were doing well, right? They were doing so well, and they moved there, but something happened. They all began to die. Amen. They began to die, and they couldn't understand it. The husband first died, right? The children died. And then the woman was left with two women. And then the woman began to beg them to go home, because she's now going to return to Israel. Now, I want us all to look at Naomi. Naomi had become a bitter woman. Now, this story is a life story. It happened. And we are all going through the same kind, you know, of arrangement in our lives. Most people, you see calamity come to them, and some of us, calamity don't come to them, you know. But there's something that really shocked me in Naomi's life. She began to tell the girls to go back to, that she was returning to Israel. Now, but Naomi is a woman who came to Moab with her hands full. But now she's returning empty. What a judgment. Hallelujah. But it looked like God had forgotten her. Amen. You know, we never really look at it from that point, because we've always looked at it from a different point, but God was teaching us who He is. You see, we can't understand the message of God. The story that God told in this place, another dimension of it, is learning to trust God. Learning to trust God against all odds. As it were, she spoke a word. She said to the girls, "Go, for I do not have any child in me to do what? To marry. Even if I do. By the time they grow up, you would have died." But praise God. Hallelujah. And there was so much rancor. They cried. They lifted up their voice and wept and wept. Oprah saw from a natural point. There are two things that we should get out of this. We have the carnal realm and we have the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm walks with faith. Amen. He sees with faith. Faith is the key to enter the kingdom. Hallelujah. Faith is the key to make it in God. You can't make it in God except you have what? Faith. And they said, they understood, the children of Israel that followed Jesus Christ understood. They said, make our faith to be what? To increase. Hallelujah. Because faith, they thought faith was going to be like, you know how the human mind is. If I have a lot of faith, I will do a lot of thing. But Jesus said, if your faith is what? Now use that mustard seed to look at Ruth. There's no way Ruth would have known that she was going to be married again. Amen. But all she knew was that she was going to do what? Cling unto God. Amen. She clung. She said, listen, your God is going to be what? My God. But does she know that she was a Moabite that is not supposed to enter in God's it's a God's arrangement? Did she know? She knew. But she clung on. She said, listen, your God is going to be my God, and your what will be? Your people shall be my people. Amen. And the Lord began to show me there's a woman that has such faith that met Jesus.
It's a referential woman.
Amen.
It's also the church and the people.
Amen. But God is speaking volumes. First, you have one, the Canara. Oprah was a nice woman. Right? Hallelujah. Let me continue. Should I continue where Jesus started? Oprah is the Pentecostal realm. And Ruth is the end time people. People that believe against all odds. It doth not yet appear what will be. But we know that when He appears and we see Him, we shall be like Him. But right now, it does not look like Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen. So if we have this hope in us, what do? We purify ourselves. What happened? History began to unfold. Amen. We know that there's a man called Boaz. We're just talking about Ruth and her escapades and Naomi. There's a man called Boaz, a very rich man. Okay? This very rich man is in Israel. Very rich. Had the fields, gleaning and all of that. And when Naomi and Ruth got to Israel, stories began to fly. Amen. But something happened. Something very important happened. When Ruth, well, spare us all the story, we know the story. When Ruth met Boaz and Naomi told her what to do and all of that, Boaz said, I will do by this time tomorrow, I will do what I'm supposed to do. Amen. And in the history of Israel, you the nearest kinsman will take over and have issues for the dead family to raise up issues so that their name will not be blotted. Amen. And the Lord is that nearest kinsman, so that you and I can make it. Now, in the line of Boaz, came forth who? First came forth David. Amen. Now, the Lord is even shocking me more by letting me know tonight that ancestral spirit that was in Boaz came to David. Amen. And if you look down all the way to Joseph, the father, supposedly, by adoption, the father of who? Jesus Christ. The Lord spoke to me, is the same lineage. Because he said, and Joseph, being a just man, did not want to shame Mary. Amen. You see that line? The line of what? Mercy. Amen. Mercy is what? Unmerited favor. God had mercy upon a Moabitess and crowned her. Hallelujah. Because of what? Her faith. So we cannot please God without faith. Now, I was asking the Lord last night, especially, I said, but all these revelations we are getting, how will it become tangible so that I can have it and feel it? He said, by faith. It is when we have faith that our bodies what? Quickened. We have the Spirit of God that is whispering to us. Until the faith kicks in, we will not do what? Be quickened. Faith is what? I want us to say it. I don't want to say it because I know it. What is it? How did the Bible say faith? Turn it the other side. The evidence first. Because he put first. Now is faith. You turn it. Because God sees from the end to the beginning. So God is an eternal God. God is not like me and you. Now, when you say faith is now this, our mind, our brain is like all shook up. Huh? We think it's some kind of abracadabra. But faith is the key of heaven. If you don't have faith, you wouldn't be born again. Praise God. Now, it's by faith that we do what? We receive. Now, if you can't receive without faith. Hallelujah. So, now, because of the action of Ruth, things began to work. And we know that after that, Boaz And God gave Ruth issues, and the line of Jesse and David and all that. And another woman that did the same thing is Rahab. Brethren, we can hear the scriptures. We can hear the word of God. We can be in fellowship. When we hear, the next step is what? To walk. Now, I'll tell you, without faith, you won't have obedience. It's what kicks, makes you to move. It's the substance. It's tangible. Faith is what? Tangible. There's a time I ministered that faith is Christ. Somebody said, please explain to me. Amen. He said, explain to me. The Bible says that it is He that does everything for us. Amen. When you say a man is righteous, he said Christ has become our righteousness. In Him we live. In Him we have our being. In Him we move about. Amen. So, faith is not foreign. Faith is what? In you. So when we hear the voice of the Lord, faith kicks in. And the faith is the action that brings the substance. Now, because Ruth had faith, that's why she followed the woman in the first place. And never gave up. Because she saw. She already was feeling the substance already. She knew. That was why she couldn't be entreated. She couldn't be told to go back. You know, wherever you live is where I live. Wherever you die, that is where I die. And it calls back to the three Hebrew children. He said, know ye now, king, now, that even if this God does not save us, now we are dead. As a matter of fact, we are dead men. You can do whatever you want to do to us. We are already dead. Amen. Instead of bowing down to you. And Jesus said, you must first do what? Deny yourself. That means that you're dead already. Then you pick up your what? Your troubles. Because cross speaks of troubles. And do what? And follow me. And last time we talked about too much tribulation. Shall we enter into the kingdom of God? And you look at Naomi, you look at Ruth, you look, their life wasn't pleasant. It was full of sorrows. But the end became better. Amen. That's why God says, and when He created man, and He saw that it was good. And some people who are myopic say, how can He say that it's good? Because God sees the end from the beginning. And this is the way we ought to be seeing. We must see how the Lord sees. He said, that which I see my Father do, that's what I do. And the only time we can do this is when we aggressively follow God. Mm-hmm. Like Ruth. You see, that is the key. Though I perish, we'll be like Job. We can say, though in this is still in this body, shall I see my Redeemer? Amen. You know, nothing, no situation, as far as your trust is in the Lord, no situation is bigger than the Lord. No situation. I'm more than half a century. No situation that I've seen that the Lord hasn't solved for me. I can only say for myself. I don't know about you. Are you afraid that the Lord will not be the Lord anymore? It will be very stupid for me to think that the situation is bigger than me. That means that God has failed. You see, He never fails. Because He's not a man. He never fails. When we talk about church, that's when we whittle down God. Church makes us not to know anything. And church is that religion that the Republic, the Pharisees had, even when God was in their midst, they didn't recognize him. He took blind men on the road. How did the blind man know that Jesus was the son of David? Is that aggressive faith? So, and he didn't let his circumstance, his blindness, deter him. And he kept calling. Even when the crowd was passing. Who told him that he could call? And when he made that call, the heart of God stopped. And when we make the call, what more? The Lord will do that. I used to wonder, and say the blind man who was on the road, what happened? The blind man who was on the road was a child of God. Because Israel, the Bible says, they are people of God.
So blind.
I'm blind. Then there's something that Jesus said, and the word said, he said, and he came to his own, and they rejected him. Amen. Don't look at anybody in this journey. Look unto the Lord. Now, in the whole journey of Israel, the Pharisees were always looking at men. They were men pleasers. When they saw, they said to the blind man, if you don't renounce this guy, that he said, how can I do that? But this man has made me to see. Eh? Where is the man so that I will do what? I will worship him. Because I was born blind, but now I see. He said it's never been done in Israel before. Can devil open the eyes of a man? Praise God. But you know, I think we are a people that are fortunate. I won't use the word fortunate because it will do a disservice to privileged. A people of God. You see, the Bible said, and Moses then peered. They saw this. God showed them this time where he will be living inside men. Let it not be heard that we're people that heard these things and lived these things and not believed it. Because the Bible said, those ones that didn't make it were full of unbelief. Some people talked about cancer and they said, I don't think God can cure cancer. But it's not true. What has happened is that sin has driven man away from God. I used to wonder, what is sin? I used to think is when you, that shall not steal and all of that. No, there's a dimension of sin that you and I know nothing about. But as we go up and up, God begins to reveal these things to us. Because we must overcome every day. We must do what? The journey. He said the journey through much what? Tribulation. The sin becomes higher. You know, you can't find me. I was telling someone, I said, you can't find me going out there and say, well, I'm going to chase a woman. But the devil said, look, I'm waiting for you. I'm going to put images in your head.
That's right.
So that it will defile you. Because the Bible says that when a man looks at a woman and thinks, he has already done what? Sin. So, thank you, Jesus, for his blood that speaks for me. You understand? But the good thing about the Lord is that when that thing happens, that instant, he brings it to your remembrance and you rebuke it. Remember, the Bible said, and the devil tempted Christ and left him for what? A season. So which means he came back. Mm-hmm. And I believe he was with him in Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. All the way telling him, look, no one man can do this thing. It has never been done. But Jesus said, not my will, but thine. And that was the same thing with Ruth. Ruth had given up everything. He said, where you go, I go. Your God becomes my God. Where you die is where I'll be buried. So she lost her own identity and then she found it. So when we lose our identity, we find it. If you deny yourself and follow him, you've made it. And that's the message. That's the message. The message is not, it was so simple. They now said to him, what must we now do? In order to do what? To enter the kingdom. We are always looking for work to do. He said, come in and enter into my what? Rest. Let us rest in him. The resting is not put your hands like this. There is rest in God. The job is done. It's not of him that run it, nor him that will it. But it's of me that showeth mercy. He said, go and learn of what they said. Sacrifices, that's not what I want. I desire mercy. You know, but you see, we keep forgetting this thing. Or the next thing, I was discussing with my brother in the afternoon. I used to wonder why people like to feel big in the church. They want to be known. Do you know what it is? Do we know what it is to be known? We are trying to be the devil. That's what it means. I will ascend and be like God, the Most High. Because I want to be known. Because the Lord said, if I want to be known, I should be the slave. Where everybody will be marching on my, you know, I should be the servant. Not the big guy. I shouldn't be known as Big Brother Obi. Because when people begin to do that, it starts making pride to do what? To, is there a little leaven? Leaveneth the lump. So, now if you carry my bag the first day, the second day, it's good for you people to carry my bag. Then when I come out from the airplane, I just give you my bag. And they say, brother, how much do you have here? You need to pay tithe to me. You know? I start doing things that don't make sense. I was discussing with him today. I said, somebody asked me about tithe. I said, how can you give God 10%? Where will you give? Is it if somebody gives you a gift of money, you go and give God 10%. Then you get your paycheck, you give 10%. Then you do some side deal, you give 10%. You must be giving 10%. You're robbing God. God does not want your money. This money, let me explain some certain things. This money is what? Paper, right?
Paper.
It's not paper, this is a tree.
Huh?
This is a tree. Wood. Mm-hmm. You cut it. Is that the scriptures?
Yeah.
When you cut it, you shape it into your idol. Eh? You use the rest and burn and make food. This is what is that wood they call? Is it papier or what? This is wood. But there's a spirit behind this paper. Does it have a mouth? Does this paper have a mouth? Can he eat? Do people worship it?
Yes.
Amen. So God says that men will go and do what? Cut down a tree and do what they have to do. And then they worship it. Eyes they have, but they can't see. Mouth they have, but they can't speak. Praise God. You know, and Baal worship was done in the house of God. I used to think that Baal worship was outside Israel. It's in the church. We forget to internalize the word of God. The kingdom is within what? It's within you. It's not outside. It's not by observation. So when you come into the church, there's bell worshipping going on. There are a lot of prophets who say they are prophets of God when they are not. Is that not true? Why everybody's looking at me? There are a lot of prophets of God who say they are prophets, but they're not the prophets of God. Well, you know the funny thing? The Bible says, and my people love it to be so.
Love to have it so.
If you bring sound word, they will close their ear and rush you. Do you know why I know? They did it to Jesus Christ. He said, and Jesus said, if they have done this to me, they will do it to you. So why are we forgetting all these things when we read these things? Well, that's why God says that we should always do what? Put him in remembrance. So that we will do what? We will do well. Your God shall be my God, and wherever you go is where I'll go. And them that followed him whithersoever. These are the people of God. They are the sons of God. And how are they following? By the voice of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So God tells you to go and stand at Gamba Junction. You're in your house. You say, Moyo, go to Gamba Junction and stand. I'll see you there. You won't even tell Bros. Huh? You enter the car and drive to Gamba Junction. And things will start happening. Because of the act of obedience. Because you had what? Faith. Praise God. It is faith. It is faith that moves the heart of God. Faith moves the heart of God. God will say from heaven, can't you see? Look at this. I will do this because this one has my nature in him. He said, draw nigh unto me, and I will do what? Draw nigh unto you. You got to be holy, for the Lord God is what? Holy. You can't say you're following God and you're not holy. It's not done. It's not true. People will leave. After a while, it will show. But the primary message of this word is the action part of it. And I believe you me, Naomi told those women stories, and their husband told them stories about Israel and about their God. Amen. But Naomi knew that even in calamity, God is God. She said something here. She said, the God who has had mercy to the what? To the living and to the dead. And one is another story altogether. The living and the dead are still living before God. But to us, the dead is the dead. But they are all alive before God. But to us, they say the dead, because they are, we're not seeing them in this realm anymore. But to God, they are all dead. Amen. He said to the people, you do not know the scriptures, nor the power of God. God is not the God of the dead. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is still living. Amen. So when we see things that are surround us, and the devil uses it to do what? To try and choke us, to make us not to believe him, to have unbelief. That was when the man said, how many times? He said, the man said, please help my unbelief. Help me from this sickness called unbelief. And what did Jesus do? He helped him. He healed the child. Huh? We need to come up to the plate. You know, come up to the plate is a baseball plate. You know, come up to the plate so that we will now begin to. Time for action has come. Time for action has come. You know, I used to wonder about how do we walk the walk that the Lord has sent us. It starts with a small one. It doesn't start from any. Don't try to be Isaiah. Isaiah started small. He was prophesying. Then when, after the cousin, Uzziah, died, he began to prophesy deep things. It was almost like he prophesied the whole Bible. Because most of the things he prophesied is still to, in our own time frame. Like, these things have happened. I hope we know. In the realm of the spirit. I hope you know that the end time has come in the spirit. It's us that live in the time frame. And time came 4 days into creation of the earth. He said, and let there be day and night, right? As far as the earth is revolving, there's time going. That's why your watch is revolving like this. Huh? And I think scientists saw, they were peering into one mechanical thing like that and found out that since the creation of the earth, a day was missing, 23 hours something. You know, it wasn't up to, but it was, there was 40 minutes that was missing. But because the Bible said when Joshua and I, they were fighting, the 40 minutes actually was when God spoke to Hezekiah. He said, let the sun go degrees back. Okay? And now you see a full day missing. And where did you find it? In the Word of God. But yet, we listen to men who hasn't lived up to 30 years, and they try to put God in their back burner and confuse you and say all kinds of things. Some will use the same word, this word, to make money. This word is easy to use it to make money. Now, because if I tell you people now, we'll do some small offering, I know you will put some money. And before you know it, I'll do abracadabra and take the money and take off. I can go to another place and be doing that and wear a cassock and say, man of God. But it's, the same thing is written here. He said, for the pastors have done what? Used this word to do what? To fleece the people of God. But what are we talking about this? Is to know the kind of people we ought to be. Because he said the devil cometh. What will he see? Do you have any of his things? If you do, he's going to kill you. But the Bible says that Jesus said, he cometh and seeth nothing. So if Christ is telling us all this story, we must be like him. Remember, he said to Mary, that son that thou shalt have is called the Son of the Most High. And that Son of the Most High is going to bring Son of the Most High, Son of the Most High again. Are they not sons of God? They say we are seated in where? Heavenly places. Begotten of who? The Father. Praise God.
And the multitude was following him, everywhere. And we came to the time when there was no bread, and somebody had some lunch, and the Lord broke the bread and the food, and he fed the people, and they ate, and they were filled. And the Lord began to speak. He spoke so many times in that scripture in John 6. He said, I am the bread of life, the bread that cometh down from heaven from the Father. If any man shall eat of me, this bread shall drink of this blood, that man will live forever. He spoke consistently. He said, I'm the bread that cometh from heaven. And he said, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so that he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And you know, it was difficult. It was very, very difficult. And if we go to verse 58, he says, this is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Mm. And brethren, this was the time, this was the dividing line. It was like this was the plumb line. And this is what we see happening at this time. That the men have fed of the bread, running after Jesus everywhere. The crowds, they were trooping, running helter-skelter. And when Jesus had given them of that one, he began to speak to them of the crux of the matter. And the Bible says that these things, verse 59, said he in the synagogue as he stopped in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus in himself knew in himself that his disciples murmured at him, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you, brethren?" And this is where we find ourselves at this time, when the word of God is coming. Jesus is saying that I am the bread of life, if we eat of him. And he's talking about death. He said, except the corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. You know, I understand that he's speaking about death to self. You know, it is through death that we can come to life. And the Bible says, when Jesus in himself knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." And the Bible says from verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and said, "Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." And, you know, it was almost like when Ruth was going. And he said, "Yes, the same Spirit." And then when Orpah went, almost like she said to Naomi, "Will you also go?" And Naomi said, "We are following you. I'm following you. I'm following you." And it was by faith that through her lineage came forth, you know, the man child, brethren. I'm moved tonight. You know, I'm moved tonight, brethren. Even when I think of, I've never seen it from that way. You know, the blind man that was just there by the street crying out to Jesus to have mercy, a blind man. I move, brethren. I know that there is quickening of the Spirit of God has come upon us. We are like that blind man. We're yet of Israel, yet blind. But the Spirit of God is stirring our hearts today, brethren. Wherewith the Lord is asking us, "Will you also go away?" And I think that this is a time of decision, brethren. This is the time of reckoning. This is the time to sit and ask ourselves the question. And I pray that our answer will be that where else can we go? For Jesus has the words of eternal life. Praise the Lord.
So, I don't know, when I came, I just felt that the Spirit of God was stirring something. I don't know if anybody has something to say. A question?
I have one question.
Very good.
Yeah, it's according to Matthew 6, I think 33, when he said that we should seek first the kingdom of God, and all the things shall be here. And I think on Saturday, or I can't remember which day, you were saying the devil is the king of the flesh. And today we need to raise the way we worship God, we seeking God, because what we are doing today, it's like for example, if we used to pray in second division, we need to raise the level of
again.
Yeah. My question is, today, when we see the world, everything we do, for example, we take the example of the fashion, the food we eat. Most of the people who are making all these things are worshipping the devil, because we are living on this world. So in some way, we are taking part of
all those things.
Yeah. So my question is, when I read sometimes, like today we were talking about Ruth. So sometimes I'll just say, maybe those people in that time, they had kind of, I mean, not say power, unction who made them to maybe overcome those different situations. So I would like to know if, for example, today, because we need to seek first the kingdom of God, does that mean that today, if I want to achieve something physically, for example, I'm planning something, yes, I should stop
doing
planning it, but planning, and leave everything to God and say, okay, God, I need this, please do it on your way. I think, on my believing, we should plan and leave it to God to decide. It's like today we ask somebody, okay, don't worry about, for example, getting a job. Just lie on your bed every day. God will give you a job. I think we should plan things and give it to God, but not put our heart on it. This is my question.
You've answered the question. You've answered the question, because you know, like you said, the Second Corinthians chapter 4:4, it says that the devil is the god of this world. You know, and it's even part of what I had in mind to speak of. You know, because if you go to that scripture in Hebrews 6 where we were reading, it talks about the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Mm-hmm. The first one says repentance from dead works and repentance from dead works and faith unto God. Then he talked about baptisms. Today what I had in mind is, okay, we'll talk about laying on of hands. But I felt that the Spirit of God was stirring something. And it's like it's also brought us to that point. Because when you look at Ruth and the upper, it's still speaking of the same thing. You know, the key to Ruth was that she denied her people. Because if she held on to being a Moabitess, there's no way she would have qualified. Because God says a Moabite will not enter. Will enter to the fourth or tenth generation. So the spiritual man said, fine, I deny my people. So your people become my people. Your God becomes my God. So in doing that, she removed that covering over her and put on a new covering. You know, which also brings us to the question you're asking. Now, the devil is the God of this world, isn't it so? You know, he rules the heart, which is the principle we're looking at the principle of the covering of spirits, principle of transference of spirits, and authority and power. Okay? The president of Gabon cannot just wake up and say he's president. He has to be dedicated. He swears to the constitution. And in doing that, there is a transference of authority to him to represent the people of this country. And when he does that, the spirits recognize. God recognizes. Men recognize. So he's not just any other person. Anything he says, it is a people speaking. That is spiritual authority. The same thing too, that God knows that the devil, God has given him that authority. He is the God of this world. It is a title. It's like in old times they say, Prince Charles, ruler of Great Britain, Scotland, and Ireland, the Protectorate of England and Germany and Spain. You see all those things? Those were titles. And which, okay, for instance, when this young boy got married, he called him the Princess of Cornwall or whatever. That title goes with an authority, goes with an estate, goes with wealth. There are many things that go with it by just giving him that authority, that title. So when he mentions that title, it carries things with him. So the devil is the god of this world. It's an authority God gave him over the dominions of the earth. Anybody born in the earth, authority automatically comes under him. But you see, that is one spiritual authority. There's also another spiritual authority. And if you go to the book of Esther, you will see that principle working. You know, the king had made a decree. He said, go and kill all the Jews. He couldn't change that decree. He couldn't change it. So the only other thing to do was to do what?
Make another decree.
He said, okay, the Jews, you fight and defend yourself. Those are the two principles of life. So in the world, you have two principles working, two kingdoms. I was thinking of this iCloud. What is iCloud? iCloud is the mind. And you see there, John chapter 6, the words that I speak to you, they're what? Spirits. Every word is a spirit. It's just moving around. The mind is a realm of the spirits. So we are gradually beginning to come around to realize what it is. That it's a realm of the spirit. That man is, your soul is a realm, different dimensions of spirit and of realities and activities and all that. So the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that is the law that is working. It's in you and it's working in this world. But the law of sin and death is also working. And the devil is one that is in charge of that law. Two of them are working. So, you as a believer, the moment you say, Jesus, I receive your blood, what you're saying is that you're becoming like Ruth. I reject my people, my God, this law, this principle, this the whole thing, that everything that has to do with it, I reject it. And in doing that, you become transferred to a new whole set of reality, kingdom, authority, spirits, destination, privileges, you know, inheritance. Everything changes automatically. So, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. And because you are in the world, and not of the world. The Bible says you are part of the commonwealth of Israel. You are nationality and the allegiance and the spirits that rule over you and all that change. So you are in the world and God brings an idea in your mind. If something says you want to do something. Of course. You are good to do what he has said. You walk by faith. You know, Ruth didn't know what was going to be. It's not important. What is important is that God has given you something. You respond to it. And when you have responded to it, what do? You say you are an unprofitable servant. In other words, I have done what I should do. God, I give it back to you. You don't have any vested interest in it. Whether it works or it doesn't work, how does it concern you? God says, lift your hand. I lifted my hand. Like, you know, I came out and said, I think God, somebody has a word. That was my, I don't think I quite. Somebody's, God, you know, telling me, that is, because I felt, that's what I felt the Spirit of God saying to me. I didn't feel an unction to speak at that time. I just did what God and go my way. Now, I could have forced myself and say, okay, I'm supposed to do this and this. And when you do that, you quench the Spirit. You know? So, if God gives you a burden, because you are in the world and you are not of the world, you also know that there is a kingdom that rules over you and that your economy is not dependent on the economy of Gabon. I don't know if you understand that. And Ruth understood that. The blind Bartimaeus understood that. You can pick up those people. If you talk about even Rahab. Rahab was the grandmother of Boaz.
It's a line thing.
If you see down the line. Okay? And they also understood Yeah, even Jacob, even Joseph, you mentioned in Egypt, when there was not just Cameron, when there was famine, the famine did not affect him. His economy was different. There was famine everywhere present, but for him, he was in resource. He was in an explosion. He was, you know, God was just blessing him. So what God wants to do for you is not dependent on the thing that are happening. Because so if you don't know that, God is telling you, go and buy land and build. You say, but God, the economy of Gabon is not doing well. you're wasting time. So God told Jeremiah, tell them to go and buy land and build. He said, no, we're not. He said, buy land. So he said, yeah, you demonstrate. He went and bought land and took out a title. He went and sat down in the public place, bought land, signed the title, and gave it as a sign to them that you're not going anywhere. You're going to stay here for a long time. Because God had spoken to him. So if God puts a body in your heart, run. Run. Like he knows that there was a time when God put a body in, we're all building houses. You know, that was about 10 years ago or so, or 15 years ago. We were building houses. We didn't know why, but if we didn't build those things then, we wouldn't have done it now. It wouldn't have been possible. So there's a season of God's visitation. When God comes to you, say, do this now, do it. You may not understand why. Everybody may be doing it. God says, do this now. Like, for instance, now, God is saying, buy gold. If anybody is here, you're investing, go and buy gold. That is the word of the Lord. If you are investing in anything, you say you have money, you want to invest, go and buy gold. That is the word of the Lord now. We don't know why. But gold is going. It's going. It's the best investment you can make. If you are thinking, I mean, just an example. If God tells you, go and build a house, go and do this, go and do this, go ahead. It's the word of the Lord. You step out. It's like he told Peter, come. And Peter began to work. But he began to look at the circumstances. And he began to think. You know? So there's an element of faith and also understanding the two principles. So when they said that to Esther and his people, he told them, everybody, fight for yourself. And it's true. As they began to fight, they were able to overcome that spirit. The same thing happened in Egypt. God, the plague was going to come. God had spoken the word. It was a done deal. The spirit of death was coming. But another law began to work. It's okay, tell them. Put blood. And when that spirit comes and sees the blood, I will pass over you. It's still the same principle. So we are in the world. You have the blood of Jesus in you. That blood is shouting. Anywhere you are going, it's shouting. Declaring, blazing. Spirits are running over the place because of you. If you're in the plane and the plane is shaking, how is your problem? You sit down and sleep. And if God says, my son, come home, hey, hallelujah, as you go. There's no death, like you said, there's no death. All those that are carnality, it's man's nature. Okay, you're afraid of death. How can you be afraid of it? Christians don't die. Even the souls don't die anyway. You only change your physical, your place of reality. You come into God, the soul continues to live. Either in hell or in the presence of God. Any soul that's made by God will never die. So it's a question of where is it going to be? In God's presence or out of God's presence? Depending on the choices you've made. If you say you don't want God, God will not force you. He'll put you where those who don't want him to be. You go there. It's God's mercy. Because if God brings you in his presence, you'll be comfortable. So the man says, I don't want God. What's his problem? Take him to those who don't want God. There are many of them. They stay there. Those who want God, they come to God and they get the fullness of God. So a man will always get what he wants. If you want God, God will come to you. He says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. So as you are seeking God, he's coming. As you pull away from God, he pulls away from you too. There's no two ways about it. You know. So those principles are working. So if you have a project in your mind, something you want to do, go ahead. You do the things you have to do. You know? And as you're doing, you're committing it to God. You don't get attached to it. You know, you don't do like it is life and death. It can never be life and death. You do anyone you do, you commit it to God. You know, and that is seeking first the kingdom of God. You put it in Israel perspective, you know, that is not the most important thing. It must come in. And as you do that, if it is of God, God will establish it. He will anoint it. You know, if it's not of God, it will not come. And when it is not of God, you too, your mind, you will not suffer loss, because you never really, it was not like the most important thing, you know. So you set the priorities right, you know. And you also know that this thing I'm doing it in the territory of the devil, but God will protect it. So that's why you have to pray. Say, this thing I want to do, I want your covering, I want your blessing on it. And as you pray, God, you know, he receives it from you and, you know, brings a covering over it.
There's a little aspect. Say, that prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. So which means there's one aspect of question, I don't know if you touched. You spoke about fashion, things prepared of the devil and all that. There's some place in the Bible where Apostle Paul say you can eat idols' food, the one they gave to idol, because the idol, you know, you have knowledge. But if you eat with faith and you lift it up and give it to the Lord, it's sanctified. You eat. Remember he prayed, say, take them not out of the world, but they might overcome the world. Praise God.
And the scripture says, when you go to the market to buy something, you don't start asking them, what did you do with this one? You don't do that. You just buy it and go home, pray for it, and you go your way. So if you want to buy clothes, go to the shop, and anything you want, you get it, and you bless God, and you go your way. But if you are, as you are going, of course, you know that there are some of those things which are not of God. There are some, for instance, like the things about wigs, particularly human hair, those ones, most of them come through sacrifices. Okay? So if you're a lady and you want to buy, you want to buy human hair, because those are the most expensive ones, then you have to be very, very careful, you know, because you are getting into enemy territory. Alright? So I'd rather not want to get into those things. So those are the things. So the Spirit of God will guide you. If you are buying clothes, you know the clothes that you should buy. What is the purpose of wearing clothes? To cover your body, you know, so from the elements, and to look presentable. Moderation. That word moderation means appropriate. Appropriate dressing. So what is appropriate dressing for a woman? A woman should dress like a woman, not a man. And pants, trousers, is man's clothes. And you go right down even to children, those who are 1 year old, who must maintain that line to make sure that everybody, male should be male, female should be male, boys should be trained to be boys, girls should be trained to be girls. We need feminine touch in the world. Today there are too many men walking on the road, there are women, there are men. You don't see feminine, you don't see life. You know, God made woman to be a woman, to minister to man. So how can you have two men in the same house? There's no life. Of course, it's legal. Yeah, it's legal. We're talking about, yes, legality. But we're talking about the divine law, the law of life.
The legal aspect of it is that is the world. That is what is inside.
It's the rebellion in the world that is making it legal. Mm-hmm. Okay? But in your house, your wife should be your wife. She should be feminine. There's a life it brings to you. And you should be a man. There's a life it also brings to her. That is the godliness. Your children should be men. The girls must dress like girls. The boys must dress like boys and behave like boys. Now, girls don't talk like girls anymore. They talk like boys. And it's breaking down barriers. It's a homosexual spirit. They want to equalize the gender. So that men, they say, unit says it's of the devil. How can you imagine we see a man wearing sleeveless dress? It's feminine. It's effeminate. And it's ungodly. A man should dress like a man. And a woman, like a woman. And when you do those things, you maintain those. And see, it comes by the Spirit. God made the man to be a man, to be masculine. If you even look at the hormones, you know it. That's the way God made it. Then he made the woman to be gentle, to be soft, to be effeminate. And it also brings life. And when you bring two of them together, you see the will of God coming forth. You know, the way it should be. And he goes right, he starts from the bedroom. He starts right down. In everything, you know, he goes down. And the children should learn it. So that when they go to their husband's house, they don't struggle. When they go there, they start fighting the man. Man talk one, they talk ten. Someone says, I have the constitutional right to not to cook for my husband. Yeah. It's a law. So I have a constitutional right not to cook for you. Who are you? Well, equal. You cook, I cook. Yes. That is the right. So they are destroying the work of God. Destroying the things of God. There are things that men can do and things that women can do. There are things I can do. But because they're breaking it now, everything is, you know, going together. So it all comes down to the thing. So whether it's dressing on, we know we are living in the world of the devil. He is manipulating. He says he shall, you know, Daniel says he shall seek to change times and laws. And that's what my brother is saying. The devil is changing times and laws. He's changing culture. He's changing norms. He's changing what is acceptable. He's changing, you know, it's pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And these guys have money. They are in minority. 100%. The gay people in the UK are in minority. But they're the most vocal. Yeah. The law says.
The US and Canada?
Yes. Oh, Canada is even worse.
Yeah.
They're the minority. The Christians are majority, but what those are. We don't care. Of course, you know, when they're doing an election, when one person signs a petition, it's equated to 50 people. So what they do is, they quickly go and get their people, they sign up, and they tell you they have. The Christian people are busy, they say it doesn't matter, we're not watching. So they push those things through. By the time they push it through, we now wake up saying, no, how do you, but it's already there, it's a law. And they put it, they put it on your neck, you must do this, you know. So we are living in their place. So we must not, you know, submit to some of those things. So those two principles are there, you know. So if you are going to the market, you just go by faith, take what you want. The ones that are not of God, the Spirit of God will tell you, and you leave it, you go your way, you know. And if in anything you feel, you pray about it, and then you go your way. Unless the Spirit of God says, don't do this or don't go in this particular way, you know, and all that. Yeah. Praise God.
But the Spirit of God can ask me to build 10 houses when
two.
Having 10 houses.
Uh-huh.
When my purpose on this earth is to
overcome.
Yeah, I will say to work to save my soul, because sometimes I just think like I say, why should I build a house? Because my purpose is not
to have
get
wealth.
Married,
to have wealth. But to do spiritual things.
Yeah, spiritual
okay,
things.
Okay, let me tell you now. Okay. You need physical resources. So that somebody will come and preach to you.
Okay,
I want to say that if God tells you, if God, for instance, if God gives you the ability to build 10 houses, yes, you build it. It brings resource to you. You make it available for the preaching of the word of God so that other people will also hear. So because Bible says you should save yourself and others. Do you understand? So God is raising you up in Gabon, not just for your own soul, but you also need to set their people free. Now, how will you set them free without resource? You need resource.
Because the next thing you now open a church.
You understand?
And ask them to donate for you.
Good. So. Yes.
So what you're saying is, you do this and then you give testimony that this is what God has done. Like.
No.
Houses and
yes, if God gives you the ability to have resource, you have resource. But you know the resource. It's not for your flesh. It's not. I mean, if God gives you money,
10 houses
brings in rent. And what he's saying is that some people say, "Okay, I give God 10%. That is all." That's wrong. You give God 100%. So the revenue, you understand? So everything you have belongs to God.
Absolutely.
Okay? Good. So if there is need for the ministry of the word, then you take money from the 10 houses and you sponsor it. You understand? And you also even sponsor yourself. I mean, coming here is my money. I'm coming here with. I don't go and tell anybody, come and... It's my resources I'm using to come. I'm building my house. I stopped building my house because I have to go and do this. God will take care of you whenever he wants. I'm giving an example. Okay? Now, if I didn't have the resource, how will I come here?
You open a church. And then donate to me.
Uh-huh. So the only thing I can come now is to now come as I'm before I go here. I make sure I get enough offering from you. I make sure I get enough offering. I don't need that because I have resources. So you have your 10 houses, so you can go anywhere in the abundance and preach. And anywhere you go, you tell them what God wants you to stay and go your way.
They will not donate to you.
I went to a church in Libreville. And I just told them everything God was, if was I knew was once in a lifetime chance. So I knew I may not go back there. So I did everything.
and there was trouble.
I threw every bomb I had there and I went my way. So let them be dealing with it. That's their problem. We are God. I have done my own. So I'm not looking for their offering. If I'm looking for their offering, I have to make sure. If as I finished, I ran away from there. I went to the other fellowship. In fact, during the afternoon, where I went to eat, I met them. The elders, they did as though they have never seen me in their life. I didn't worry. Mm-hmm. Because I was eating. I had money to pay. If I didn't have money to pay, what would happen? When I finish preaching, I have to wait for them to carry me to go somewhere and give me food. But because I had money, I said everything I wanted to say, and I went my way.
Yeah, but that's the same thing Apostle Paul did. Mm-hmm. He said for the word not to be spoken ill, he had to go and do what?
Yes, he had to walk. Mm-hmm. You understand? He had to walk. So you are also a minister of God, but they are walking. So as you are walking, you think that you are not. You are a minister of God. You know. So whatever you are doing here is bringing resources to you, is building you up, so that in the time God will begin to open the door for you to go and minister, you can go anywhere. And you can even go to the president and talk to him. You know, because you don't need government contract. You understand? If you need government contract, you can never talk to the president. But because you don't need him, you have your 10 houses. Huh? You talk to him and go anywhere you want to go. So that is what you know, the contest. So it's not as though that, you know, you will not. Scripture is saying don't. You know, get involved in material things. You need to get involved in material things. There are responsibilities to your own family, responsibilities to the church. You know, because we need resources to do things in the church. For instance, have you ever thought of it? How wonderful it would be to have a radio, Christian radio in Gabon. All these messages being broadcasted in Gabon. How would you get it? You need resources for that. So those are the things. So as the result comes, you are thinking in that dimension that you can even get a printing press. All these books, you can print them in French and distribute free of charge.
So it's where the heart is.
That's it. So
the person can have 10 houses and the heart is away from God.
God, yes. And you can say have 10 houses, it doesn't mean anything to you. In fact, like you said, it's 100% belongs to God. And you are going your way. You know? So it is the attachment. And that's why I talked about, like Ruth, she detached herself from all these things. So you can have these things and you're detached. It doesn't mean anything to you.
She was there already.
Yeah. It belongs to God. So you put them at the disposal of God. Say, God, they are yours. You only give me what I need. The rest belong to you. And as God directs you, say, do this, you do it. Do this, you do this. Do this, you do it. God will bring more because you know you're a faithful servant. There are people that God will not give things because if he gives them, you will never see them in the church again. They will run away. Because all they want that, like I said, that, you know, mammon is a spirit.
Or they give 10%.
I know, they pay God off. God wants 10%. I give you. Fine. And my contract with you is settled. So let me go have my after I work for it. You understand? But so if you've given yourself to the Lord, everything to the Lord. No, I mean, yeah, not. The Bible says that they first of all gave of themselves to the Lord then of their substance. That is the offering. You offer God everything then of your substance. Then when people see, they know that, look, like Paul gave everything. Everything he had was
given to him. Like all accounts.
Yes.
That I might apprehend.
Apprehend, yes. So he, you know, so that is the principle, you know. So in fact, you should even be looking for avenue to even get more resources, because for the kingdom. Because God will give you to you when he knows that you can manage it. He will be bringing a lot to you, because you know that this one is a responsible. That one needs to be a son, because you see the things of the kingdom that need to be done, and you are busy going to God and say, look, this is, you know, you are about your father's business. You are looking at how to advance the kingdom of God, how to move and all that. And that's what God is saying to us now. We are looking around and saying, how can we advance this world? How can we? So if you are in a place of position, you use it for the purpose of the kingdom, to influence other people. Others are using it, they are thinking of themselves, or thinking of how they can use it for other things. But you are thinking of how can it advance the people of God. In this country, there are many people who are, even though there is so much a lot of resources, many people are poor, no jobs. The politicians are not thinking of them, they are only thinking of themselves. So, if God puts you in a point of position, what do? You empower the people. You empower the people. Set them free. They see the love of God. And all these things can come just through you. So, there's so much to do. You know? And as you're doing it, it's all part of saving your soul and saving them that hear you. So, it's not saying you just go and sit down and say, okay, I want to save my soul. No. So, you save yourself and you save others also. You know? Like a child. Someone who's grown up, you're not just thinking of yourself, you're thinking of his children. There's responsibility. So as you're growing in God, God will be putting on you, and then begin to open your eyes to see the needs around, and then you respond to it. Praise God.
There's a song that comes from school.